Well, we're so glad you're here today at Believer. Anybody glad to be in church today? Awesome. It's time that we can meet with God and allow Him to speak into our lives. And so I love coming to church because I love meeting with God and I love meeting with you guys too. So, all right. So today we're going to conclude our series called God Is. And within this series, we've just been going into God's Word and just diving in and just seeing what the Bible says that God is. You know, and if we don't get to know our Heavenly Father, then how are we going to live a successful Christian life? And I believe that it's through God's Word and through the presence of God and that we learn who God is. And so the first week we talked about God is faithful. God is faithful. God is always faithful to His Word. God is always faithful to us. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful because He can't deny Himself. His faithfulness is not dependent on us. It's dependent on who He is. We talked about God is love last week. And, you know, we took a little bit different approach to God is love. Instead of just looking at the typical love scriptures, we went through and saw how God loves us, you know, as parents. You know, we can't always just give our kids what they want and always just, you know, let them do whatever they want to do and run around. And that's what a lot of people present as God's love is, you know, God loves us and He's gracious. And so we can just do whatever we want to do. And that's just not true. And so we presented a picture of God's love that I think was a little bit more holistic in it. And so today we want to conclude by talking about God is able. God is able. And I love this this study because it went a lot deeper than I thought it was going to go. And when I started studying it, because, you know, what we want to do in here is just, take our topic, whatever we're looking at, and just go to the scripture and just let the scripture talk to us about who God is. And as I started to look through God is able. Of course, you know, I did the nerdy thing and I looked up the meaning of words and all of that stuff. Some of y'all love that. Some of y'all couldn't care less. But I looked up the word able. And the scripture we're going to play off of today is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Let's read that real quick. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And it says, to Him who is able. Now, when we think of the word able, you know, like we think of, you know, they're able to do that. They can sufficiently do a job. You know, they're able. You know, we can think of better words in the English language to explain what this word is actually trying to say. This word is talking about the ability or the power to be able to do something. And the word able in the Greek is actually dunamai. It means to be powerful or to be able. And it's very closely related to another word that we see in here. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to His power." Now, the word able and power are very close in meaning. In fact, if you know anything about, you know, the Strong's Concordance and all that, it's one number off. Able is 1410 and power is 1411. And so that means 1411 came out of 1410. The power of God comes out of His ability. This word power is actually the word dunamis, which is the word we get our word dynamite from, which is the power of God. And as you study out this word power, it's actually translated in the Gospels. When Jesus does a miracle, it says He did a miraculous work. It's this word power right here. And so it's saying, now to Him who is able, who is powerful to do immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. See, God is able. It's not saying God is sufficient. See, God is all powerful. He has all the power in the universe. He created everything. There is nothing that God can't do. Now, there are things that he limits himself into not doing, like we talked last week about, or a few weeks ago about God is faithful. Like, God is faithful because he is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful. Does that make sense? And so there are some things that God can't do, like he can't hate, he can't be unfaithful, he can't lie. And so in this, he says, God is able, God is all powerful. He is able to do whatever. And so as we look into this scripture, it just blows my mind that God thinks this way. That God is thinking of us, that he wants to use his power and his ability in our life. It's because of Christ Jesus went to the cross for us, and that he displayed his power on the cross in defeating sin and defeating hell and defeating the grave. That same power lives within us now. Did you know that? That power is the power of the Holy Spirit, in which when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. So the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you now. Y'all see where we're going with this? See, God is able. And as we go through the scripture today, I want to pull out three different scriptures where it says God is able. And it talks about something that he wants to do in our life. Something that he is able to do and he's willing to use his power in our life for. And so it just amazes me that, you know, one of the scriptures in the Gospels, you know, Jesus is talking. He said, you know, all of this stuff that I've been doing, when I go away, you're going to be able to do these same things and even more because I go to my Heavenly Father. See, he sent the Holy Spirit into our lives and he implanted into us the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Now, I'm not saying that we're God, okay? Don't misunderstand me here. We are not Jesus. We're not, you know, just can't go up and just heal people and just do whatever we want with that power. But as God wills to use his power in our lives, he has the ability to use his power in our lives. And as we connect with him and the Holy Spirit and the reason and the purpose that he places here on earth, it enacts the power of God that lives on the inside of us to do abundantly more than what we can ever ask or think. That's what this scripture is talking about. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine. You know, I have a pretty good imagination. You know, there's things that I want God to do in my life. There's things that I want to see accomplished in my life. And as I look at these things, I realize that I can't do them because I'm not God. And that I'm going to have to rely on the power and the Holy Spirit in my life. And I imagine these things that I want to do. And right here he says, he is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or can even imagine. See, God wants to use you. God wants to use his power in your life. And he doesn't want to do it just for your benefit. He wants to do it for his glory. So that he can use you to help other people, to show that love and that grace to other people that he's showing you. And he wants to use that power within you through the Holy Spirit to do some things that will just blow your mind. Has anybody ever had that moment to where, you know, God prompts you to like say something to something, you're thinking, you know, that's really just stupid. You know, that why would I ever say that to anybody? And you're finally like, okay, God, I will do it. And so you go up to this person and you say, you know, this might seem weird, but I think I need to tell you this. And you tell them the word that God placed on your heart. And that person just starts crying. And they have this moment of just like, how did you know? What, that's exactly what I needed to hear right now. And the power of God was at work in that person's life. And you feel about this small because you're just like, it wasn't me. It's like, I just feel like God wanted to say this to you today. And it does something amazing in their life. See, that's what God wants to be using you for, is to reach other people with his love and his grace. But see, we can't do that in our own power and our own ability. See, we have to have the ability of God and the power of God in our lives to be able to accomplish those things. Let me tell you something. He's got something so much bigger than you could ever ask or imagine. He's got so much more for you to do. Why do we limit the power and the ability of God in our lives? Because we base it on us and what we can do. I believe that God wants us to begin to dream and to begin to imagine and dream those God dreams and allow Him to build some things in our lives. Because if we just think and work on what we can do, then we're not going to accomplish much. We need to allow God to dream in our hearts. So let's dive into Scripture today. You know, what is God able to do? What does He want to do in your life using His ability and His power? I've got three different scriptures that I want to go to today. And to see what God says that He is able to do and what He wants to use His power to do in your life. And as we read these, keep in mind that He's not doing this for your benefit. He's doing this for the benefit of others. He's doing this so that He blesses you so that you can bless other people. That He wants to use you because He's trying to reach the lost. Jesus said that's why He came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And see, that's what we need to be about. It's to seeking to save that which is lost. See, if your Christianity is just based around Sunday morning, then you're missing the whole point. See, our Christianity needs to be based on Monday through Saturday. What we do when we're outside of the walls of this church and allowing God to use us. All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 real quick. Hebrews chapter 2. I want to just talk about what God is able to do and wants to do in our lives. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 is where I want to start today. It says, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could He die, and only by dying could He break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could He set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. I want to stop right there real quick because this is amazing. We just celebrated communion. And this is what He was talking about here, in that Jesus, who is God, humbled Himself and became human. Just like you and me, He was 100% human. He set aside all of His godly ability and all of His godliness and all of that surrounds that. And He set it aside and came to the earth to be human, just like you and me. He lived the perfect life. He never sinned. He never gave in to the temptations in life. And it came to the point in His life to where what God destined Him to do was to come and to die for you and me. Just like Paige was saying a while ago, in that when Jesus was on the cross, when He was beaten, when He was spat on, when He was mocked, when they put the crown of heads on the crown of thorns on His head, when they put Him on the cross, He didn't deserve any of that. That's what we deserved. See, that should have been us. But Jesus in His perfect life did that for us. And He took on that sin. And He paid the price for sin, which is death. He did that for you and me on the cross. And He died and He went to hell for us. But see, God didn't keep Him there. He raised Him again on the third day. And He ascended into heaven and He's praying for you and me right now. See, this is how awesome our God is, how awesome Jesus is. It's like He just didn't die for us and like, okay, peace, I'm done, I'm out, I've done my job. But no, He is interceding. He is praying. He's in the presence of God. And He's like, man, I just lift up Nick right now, man. He's struggling right now. God, just give him the strength. God, I paid the price for that. And God, give him the strength that he needs to make it through this. This is what Jesus is doing for us right now. He's praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's pleading for us in the presence of God. See, this is who Jesus is. And when we give our lives to Him, when we say, Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I have failed time and time again. I need your help. I give my life to you. God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. And at that moment, something amazing happens on the inside of you. The Bible says you become a brand new creation, something that's never existed before. On the inside, you are changed. You're clean. You're righteous. You are holy, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. That's amazing. Don't y'all agree? All right. Okay, let's move on. Verse 17, therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people, since he himself has gone through the sufferings and testings. Here it is. He is able to help us when we're being tested. He is able. Not saying he's sufficient to do it, but he wants to use his ability and his power in our life to help us in times of trial, in times of temptation. How many of y'all struggle here besides me? I struggle in life. I struggle with sin. I struggle with things that you know, it's hard. Life is hard sometimes. Bad things happen sometimes. And so many people during those times run away from God, thinking, God, why are you doing this? Why did you allow this in my life? When it should be the exact opposite, that we run to him because he is able. Because he is able. He is able to help us when we're being tested, when we're going through the trials. See, if you're going to make it through the trials in life, you're going to have to depend on his ability and his power. You have to depend on his dunamis power. The power of God to make it through. If you're not tapping into the power of God that's living on the inside of you, then you're missing out in life. If you try to do everything on your own, if you try to make it on, if you try to not sin on your own, if you try to live a Christian life on your own, if you try to make it through the hard times on your own, then you're missing the whole reason you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is to help you to get through those tough times. Now, that's not the only reason that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Because what happens as we thrive and we strive through those times of trials and those times of temptations, as we strive through those, people will be watching. Like, I know what just happened in his life. And he's got joy. He's got a smile on his face. What's wrong with that guy? And you're able to say, hey, this is not me. This is God living on the inside of me that's bringing me through this. He's pushing me through this. And I'm going to come out stronger on the other end because I trust in him. I trust in his purposes in my life. See, when you're going through those tough times, when you're going through those trials, trust in his ability and his power that's living on the inside of you to make it through. Otherwise, you're not going to make it through. Amen. See, we got to depend on him. God is able. In 2 Corinthians, we find another place where it talks about God is able. God is able. And this is one that you really don't think about God's ability in. But this is amazing. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about this in church, but we're going to today. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we're going to start. In verse 6, it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here it is. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things you'll have all that you need, and you will abound in every good work. Why does he do this? Why does he want to bless us? Verse 11. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, here's one thing that we miss in giving. Is that, you know, we receive offerings, we receive tithes every week here, and it's so easy just to get into the routine of, you know, writing a check, putting it in the bucket. I've given. And it just becomes a routine. It becomes a nothingness. But see, we think that we've done our Christian duty. Like, I've given. Okay, I'm done. I've done this thing. But what we fail to realize is that we give for a reason. See, God wants us to give cheerfully. It's an attitude that we give. See, and we're not just talking about money. There's a lot of people that serve here in this church. Like this could not happen if we didn't have people watching your babies and watching your kids and in kids' turn right now. And we have people that are ushers that are doing things. We have people in the sound booth. We have people counting. We have all of this stuff that's going on so that you can sit in this service and you can enjoy. These people are giving. And we love that. We encourage people to give of their time and of their talents for God. But see, we need to do it with an attitude of cheerfulness. And that we don't, oh man, I've got to go watch babies again. Man, I hope this one doesn't poop. Dear Lord, this thing poops a lot. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. We're going to walk away from that thought. But see, God wants us to give with a cheerful attitude. And as we do that, it says God is able to bless you abundantly. How many of y'all need some blessing in your life today? We all need blessing in our life. And I'm not just talking about money. Man, we need joy in our life. We need God's favor in our life. We need God's blessing in our life. And as we give cheerfully, God said that he is able to bless you abundantly. Like, yeah, that's great. Awesome. We want God's abundant blessing in our lives. But see, so many people give with the wrong attitude. A lot of people will serve because they said they needed someone to work, and I guess I can do it. You know, I'm not doing anything else, so I guess I'll go serve. Or you know, I'm going to give just because I know I'm supposed to give. And they do it with the wrong attitude. And so God wants to bring blessing in your life. He wants to bring that abundance in your life. But why does he want to bring it? So that you can get a big bank account? So that you can drive the newest Toyota? So that you can, no, that's not why God wants to bless you. Yeah, he wants you to have good things in life. But you know why he wants to bless you? Because other people need to be blessed. Other people need help. See, if you only have enough to take care of you, then how are you ever going to give to that person who's hungry? How are you ever going to be able to bless someone that's hurting? If you're all the time having to work to pay your bills and to pay the debt and to pay off the house and to pay off the boat and you're all the time using your time working, because how are you going to give of your time to serve people? See, God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. See, God doesn't want you just to pull up all of the blessings that he has for you, but he wants to pour blessings through you. He wants you to be a river and not a pond. See, a lot of people just want to be the pond. You know, just the blessings flow in and it stops with you. The blessings flow in and you just get more and more. That's not what God intended the blessing for. He intends it so that he can use you to bless other people. See, some of the most blessed people that I know are the biggest givers that I know. They have the generous heart to where money's not really an issue. Because they're willing to give it away. They're willing to give of their time. They're willing to give their love. And so they're the most loved people. They want to give grace. See, God wants to pour blessing into your life. He is able to bless you abundantly. But are you willing to give? Are you willing to have that generous heart? Are you willing to have the right attitude as you go and serve in the nursery? Are you willing to have the right attitude when you go and you speak love into someone's life that just lost their parent? What's the attitude behind your giving? Because God is able to bless you abundantly. But he wants to bless you so that you can bless others. See, everything that God is able to do and wants to do in our life and use the power of God in our lives for, he wants it to work through you to other people. So God is able. See, God is able to help you through tests and trials. He's able to bless you abundantly so that you can be a blessing to others. The third one we found in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 is where we're going to start on this one. God is able. I love this story because I love those stories that you kind of read over and you miss the, it's easy to miss the meaning behind what they're talking about. And I love this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside, and suddenly a man with leprosy approached him, and he knelt down before him. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. See, this is one of those scriptures that we could easily just pass over. Like, oh man, that's awesome. God healed this guy. And it's interesting that we took communion today and we were talking about healing. Because I believe that God is getting ready to do something in some people's lives. But it's interesting that this man said, if you are willing, you can heal me. If you go back and look in at that word can, it's the word able. He said, if you're willing, I know you're able to heal me. See, God is able to heal. The power is there. The dunamis power of God is there to heal you. And this man knew that. And this man approached God. He approached Jesus boldly. He said, if you're willing, I know you're able. And Jesus said, I'm willing. Be healed. And he was healed in that moment. What is interesting to me as I read through the Gospels, never have I seen anybody who approached Jesus in faith when it comes to healing that God ever said no. Jesus never turned anybody down that asked for healing. That's interesting to me. I mean, and you know, one of the things that you hear a lot of times, well, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. What, you saying the power of God's not at work anymore in our lives? See, God is able. He has the power to do it. This man's question, is he willing? And Jesus was like, yes, I'm willing. And he healed him in that moment. And as you look through the Gospels, he never said no. He always healed. Now, in our lives today, you might be thinking in your head, well, I know people who's prayed for healing and didn't receive healing. You know, why is that? If God's willing, then how come people don't get healed? I wish I had an answer for you, but I don't. You know, there's lots of things, lots of circumstances that I don't understand. I wish I completely understood God and his ways and his will, but I don't. But as I see from the scripture, Jesus never said no. He never did not heal somebody who came in faith and he asked. But see, what I see in the Bible, and we see this in one of the parables that Jesus taught, was everything works off of sowing seed. Seed time in harvest. It's the parable of the sower. And at the end of this, he said, if you understand this, then you can understand all of the parables. That you can understand what this is about. In that we need to sow seed in our life to reap a harvest. See, we're growing a garden this year. First time we've ever tried it. Like, we've tried to grow plants and stuff, bushes, they all die. And so, you know, I'm a little bit nervous. But the kids wanted to grow. They want to grow vegetables and different things. And so, like, well, we'll give it a try. Ella's, for as long as, like, she's, like, been able to comprehend that, she wants to grow vegetables and give it to people. I'm like, how can you say no to that? I mean, really? I mean, come on. And so, so we're trying to grow a garden. And, you know, me and Ella went to the store and we bought seed. I said, Ella, what do you want to grow? I said, well, we want to grow corn. We want to grow some pumpkins and some watermelons, some cantaloupe. It's just a bunch of random stuff. We're going to grow some beans and some squash and all this stuff. And so I planted it in the ground. We went out there. We got the dirt ready and we put it in the ground. See, what would have happened if I would have left that seed in the package? What would have happened? It would still be a seed, wouldn't it? It'd still be in the package and nothing would happen. See, the Word of God is seed in our life. So many times we ignore God's Word. We don't put God's Word in our life. See, we need to build habits in our life to where we're consistently putting God's Word in our life, because that's putting the seed of God's will into our life. See, just like the scriptures we read today, so with the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I didn't hear any ifs in that. So many times we can go to scripture when we're having tough times, when we're struggling with things, we can go to the scripture and see what God says about different things in our life, about how he loves us, about how he has forgiveness for us. And in this one in particular, we can go to scriptures that talk about healing in our life. And I believe that if you need healing today, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional healing, whether it's a spiritual healing that you need in your life, that we need to place the seed of God's Word into our hearts. And as we begin to place that in our hearts, and we begin to water that seed, I thank God he's been watering my seed all spring. I've only had to water it once, you know, and everything's growing. But we need to water God's seed. We need to begin to confess God's Word over our lives. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The Bible says that if I confess my sin to somebody, that he brings healing into my life. So you might be struggling today with resentment in your life. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe you're holding a grudge. Maybe you have an offense in your life. See, we need to plant God's seed in our hearts. Maybe you need to go ask for forgiveness from somebody. Maybe you need to confess a sin to somebody to bring that healing into your life. If you need healing in your body, begin to quote God's Word over your life. And you'll begin to see that God is able to use his power in your life as you plant seed and you water and you confess. See, somebody in here needs to begin to confess God's Word over their body. Someone needs to begin to confess God's Word over that offense that you have. There might be someone here that's been hurt in church. That you just might be here just to check it out one more time. Just maybe. Well, God is reaching out to you today saying, I love you. I need you. I want you to be part of my family. I want you to be part of my church. Allow God to bring that healing in your life. Allow God to begin to do something in your heart and in your life. One last scripture today, Romans chapter 4. Prayer team, be ready. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. We talked about Abraham last week and how that God is love. And it says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Bringing glory to him. And he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. See, guys, we got to realize that God is able. God is able. If you find it in God's Word, if you find a promise in his Word, he is able and he is willing to do it in your life. But you've got to be willing to give that to him, to cast those things over to him and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I'm trusting in your ability and your power in my life to come and work. Today, if you need prayer, maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you're holding a grudge in your life with somebody. Maybe you're mad at God. God is here to heal your heart today. God is here to begin a work in you today. if you're willing to trust in His ability and His power. Father, we thank You today for all that You do, God. We thank You that You are able. Prayer team, come ahead. We thank You that You are able. God, that You want to use Your power in our life, God, that we can trust in Your dunamis power, that power, all-powerful God. God, as we give our hearts over to You, God, as we give our situations, God, we know that You're able to help us through the trials. God, that You're able to bless us abundantly. God, that You're able to bring healing into our lives. God, we open our hearts to You, God. Come and do a work in us. God, as we stand in Your presence, God, as we worship You today, God, come and do Your work. Can we all stand today? Let's worship God. If you need prayer, come ahead.